Hey, good afternoon. My paper is on the My paper is on Outlaw Country as Godfather to the Music Mafia, and details the details the beginning. Details the movement in the mid-1970s of artists taking back control over their product, or actually gaining control over their product in Nashville. The outlaw movement of the four people who are mostly associated with that movement being Tom Paul Glosser, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and Jesse Coulter, so associated because of the album The Outlaws, which was actually the first country album to ever go platinum. These talented singer-songwriters started off selling their songs throughout Nashville, and in the age of the Nashville sound and countrypolitan as promoted by Chet Atkins, which was a I'm going to start again. Okay, as I was trying to say, the outlaw country movement started as a reaction to the homogenization of the Nashville sound and countrypolitan. This was a movement that had started in Nashville sort of as a reaction to the growing trends of rockabilly and rock and roll as a way of trying to increase market share, or to at least try to retain some share of the record market. Now, as a result, the music that was then being produced was promoting crooners and a lot of string, a lot of overproduction, and a number of singer-songwriters who had more traditional leanings, more towards Lefty Frizzell and the music of Hank Williams. They found themselves out in the cold. Now, they could still write, and they were still able to sell their songs, but they were not able to write and sell and produce the music that they themselves associated with country and that they themselves loved. And they would meet in places like Tootsie's Orchard Lounge or Lineberger's Restaurant, and they would play the music that they liked, but they knew couldn't get recorded. Tom Paul Glosser of the Glosser Brothers had established his own studio, a state-of-the-art recording studio in Nashville, which later became known as Hillbilly Central. And from there, he and a number of other artists started to produce their own records. And at about this time, Willie Nelson had already left Nashville and come to Austin and was also starting to cut his own material. Now, part of this reaction was that Music Row had been trying to hide the hillbilly or country roots of country music. The Outlaws were at once modern and contemporary, and they reached the youth, but yet they were very traditional, and they brought back traditional themes, instruments, and arrangements. Now, the Outlaws did come into their own, and for many people today, if you mention country, the first names that tend to come to mind are people like Willie Nelson or Waylon Jennings. And it's important to realize that at the time, they were considered to be a little bit outside of the pale for Nashville, and you know, they weren't nearly as clean-cut or well-dressed as, say, gentleman Jim Reeves and a number of other folks of the time. Then we skip forward to today. There is a similar movement afoot through the Music Mafia. The Music Mafia, which actually stands for Musically Artistic Friends in Alliance, also started with talented singer-songwriters who found that they were having a problem getting recorded because their sounds were a little bit too contemporary and a little bit too, that they blended a little too many of different musical genres together, and people in Nashville didn't really know quite what to make of them. The main leaders of this movement have been the group Big and Rich, fronted by Big Kenny Adolphin, John Rich, and then the female artist Gretchen Wilson. Now, both Big and Rich and Gretchen Wilson have now gone multi-platinum in their own right. But they all started off at very much in the same way that the Outlaws did, by working at, by just playing and writing the songs that they liked and presenting them nightly, I'm sorry, presenting them weekly at a place called the Pub of Love. And they were a reaction to the interchangeability of country and pop. Now, their sounds have blended modern music like hip-hop and rap with traditional country, and as such, they have reopened the debate of what is country music. There's a number of similarities between both movements. And both were started by talented groups of singer-songwriters, you know, who were finding the traditional doors of production closed to them. And both Hillbilly Central and the Music Mafia were founded on strength and unity and a celebration of talent. In the intervening recent developments have now shown that the Music Mafia has been given their own television show on country music television. Big and Rich have now been given their own label imprint at Warner called RABAW, which stands for Red and Yellow, Black and White, which they have announced will be used to produce albums by other of the Mafia members, as well as to promote the Mafia slogan of music without prejudice. Or, as Big and Rich like to say, country music without prejudice. One of the first acts who will, one of the first artists who will be released later this year is Cowboy Troy, a black rapping cowboy who has been seen, who has actually prominently featured in some Big and Rich songs, and his first album is called Loco Motion, and the first single from that album is called I Play Chicken with the Train, which is, in short, an anthem proclaiming the success of having taken on Music Row's conventions and won. Cowboy Troy, whether he's successful or not, is in a position to be the first highly visible black performer since Charley Pride in country music. CMT is already doing some promotion, and he is really the first visible African-American in country in a long time. Both movements have inspired other artists and have made country music more accessible to a number of people, including those who would never have thought or would have freely admitted that they liked country music. To conclude, by breaking the mode, both groups have broke modes by bringing back traditions that have been missing from contemporary country artists who tended to err on the side of pop more often than not. In both cases, the instrumentations that are coming forward, or at least with the Music Mafia, most of their, although they are relying on a hard rock beat and are using hip-hop and rap, they are also bringing in more banjo, more fiddle than a number of the other so-called contemporary country artists that are getting airplay these days. And they have actually opened up country music for another generation of people. We're starting to see a number of, just in the short time between the announcing of this conference, I had a woman come up to me who had seen one of the album covers, and she noted that she doesn't usually listen to country music. Doesn't really like it, but boy, that great Gretchen Wilson, she really tore it up on the Grammys. People are liking that sound, and a number of people who like hip hop, who like rock and roll, and who also like country have not, until this time, seen a blending of these genres coming together. And by getting back to the basics, they are starting to get back to the basics of what country music is. Or as Trace Atkins notes in his latest singles, it's songs about me. It's songs about the people. And their music is actually touching a number of people in a number of ways.
Thanks a lot, Nancy. Okay, we're in an unbelievable position. We are ahead of schedule. And so why don't we start, if you have got questions for Nancy, why don't we start there? And then after that, if there are questions for, Carrie's still here, I see. So, oh, and Matthew's here. So let's start with questions for Nancy, please.
Unfortunately, I don't have a sample because it's not yet been released. The video is available on the CMT website, so I can listen to it. But in preparing for this, there was no legal way of obtaining a sample. But
it's okay.
That notwithstanding. No, his although he himself is rapping, it is over a lot of fiddle with a good bit of banjo as well, and the rhythm and the cadences lend themselves more to country than to anything else. In listening to his single "I Play Chicken with the Train," when you hear it, you definitely hear country. You hear country rapping. By that, you know, you have the person doing the fast talk. But it is essentially a country song in arrangement, in instrumentation, but just with a more driven beat.
Mm-hmm. The first rap record was Chris Bushilia, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess in the blues realm, Chris Thomas King is like the 21st century blues voice, been a similar sort of thing, taking blues back in context and rapping over that. Often, that's true.
But one of the things that that the current success that Big and Rich and Gretchen Wilson are having, and with the promotion of artists like Cowboy Troy, is that it's making it easier for other artists who want to blend genres, who want to sort of cross the lines, to get notice, to get label promotion, and to get contracts, which have eluded them in the past. And actually his single "I Play Chicken with the Train" essentially documents about the train being the Nashville music establishment and how he makes the train jump the track by the mere fact that he is able to get recorded, the fact that he gets airplay. And so the story is even though it has a very strange title, as songs often do, it really is a very nice little twist of the knife to the people who had previously said, well, there's no place for you in country music, there's no place for you in music. And, you know, time will tell whether or not, you know, the sales will bear this out or not, but it's at least interesting that it's happening. Unofficially, for about 5 to 6 years, they had been playing underground at the Pub of Love in Nashville on Thursday nights, very late, because they wanted only people who were serious about showing up to listen to the music. So they chose the worst night of the week to play live music, figuring that they'd only get diehards. The members of the Mafia, Big and Rich and Gretchen Wilson, were both given contracts in 2004, and 2004 has really been the breakout year for them. And then January of 2005, the Music Mafia was followed around with, they were doing the Chevy Revolutions tour, and CMT just threw cameras and camera crews at them and literally just gave them their own show. So they're very new, but like most overnight successes or most things that break overnight, they've been around for a while.
So did they do a career shift? Because what were they before they were the Rebels? Did they have more country artists like Troy? Was he a soul singer, an R&B singer, or a country singer?
No, he was a Texas boy who just who loved country and was doing some country rap and came to Nashville, fell in with the folks at Big and Rich. As a matter of fact, John Rich, which is this one right here, John Rich is probably of all of the members of the Music Mafia the one to watch. He's a brilliant songwriter. He's up for an award as co-writer of the single Redneck Woman with Gretchen Wilson. And he's also the main eye for talent for the Music Mafia. And his track record is considered to be pretty good. He's been able to promote a number of other artists, a number of the folks in the Music Mafia who are starting to come up. And as a matter of fact, Gretchen Wilson pretty much owes the fact that she has a recording contract to John Rich and what he's been able to do with her and for her and just pounding on doors throughout Nashville. Yes.
The language of radio, I mean, they always have pigeonholes. So the past 10 years or so, this kind of outlaw country or country that doesn't fit into the Nashville sound is known as Americana. How does this differ from that kind of music? If I was listening to it, I think it's an Austin station, 98.1, I think it's an Americana station. And her
Well, taking the first part about why Gretchen Wilson doesn't sound different than the more traditional ones, as a matter of fact, that's part of the charm and part of the success, I think, of Gretchen Wilson is that she, unlike, say, artists like Faith Hill or Shania Twain, is actually going back more towards the type of music that we associate with traditional country artists. Her song, When I Think About Cheatin', is very close to a Patsy Cline, early Loretta Lynn type of work. Now, as far as what niche they will hit, some contemporary country radio stations are playing them. It all depends. Big and Rich, they have one of their songs is called Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, and they have remixed that as a dance tune, and it is played in dance clubs, and both the album cut and the dance cut are within the top five of played country songs in clubs. So it remains to be seen what the traditional country stations or what the mainstream country radio stations will do with this, because it doesn't really fit their normal format. And there's a chance that maybe some of the more contemporary top 40 listings might try to pick them up. It's too early to say, but it'll be interesting to know.
Is there any even the slightest hint of these people worrying about the way the hell this place is all going?
Well, aside from the philosophy that Big and Rich and the Music Mafia try to promote at every conceivable venue that they have, which is to love everybody and to... That's big Kenny. He's the love everybody. And you can see. It's a very that and promoting your fellow person, your fellow musician, as far as just becoming very politically charged, they don't seem to be going towards political polarization. I think they've realized that their music has caused enough polarization as it is. Glazer, yes. Well, considering my early troubles actually speaking and getting my mouth open, yeah.
Thanks very much. Thanks, everyone. Well, now you can go listen to the last paper if you want to on the other side of the wall. Take care.
Oh, I didn't realize everything was to be seen.
Yeah, so
open.